Hello, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Truck Stop Ministries. We pray that it will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. And now, here's your chaplain.
All right. Well, tonight, you'd asked me about what we was going to study about earlier, and I made a joke and forgot to tell you. We want to talk about praying for a lost loved one. Praying for people. And I think we're all called to do that. I've said many times that every born-again Christian is called into the ministry of some kind. You drivers, in my opinion, have a great, great, great opportunity on the road. Far better than in my day, if you please. Now with the technology and with the 34-hour restarts and that, you pretty well know where you're going to be, pretty close to that. You figure out where you're going to take your restart. And to me, that's the Lord saying, okay, I'm going to have you in Jackson, Georgia to work for me this time, or in Dallas, Texas, or to wherever it might be. But in the meantime, we need to be about our Father's business. And one of those things we need to do is be praying for the lost people around us. I titled it Praying for a Lost Loved One, but in reality, we look around us, and my mom used to say the world's going to hell in a handbag, you know, and it's worse now than when she lived. Too much is being accepted, but first of all, we need to understand that it's God's will for everybody to be saved. We don't have to pray, Lord, is it your will, right? Some cases, some things we pray and say, Lord, if it's your will, so-and-so, or whatever. But in that case, I tell you what, turn to page 249 in the Little Bible. In your Bible, it's 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. We want to find out, just to establish a couple of things up front. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And I'm reading out the New King James, so you may have a little bit different. The ones in the seat are New King James. And we want to look at a couple of things here this evening. And I went to a church this morning where a young man was graduating from high school, and they were honoring him. In fact, it's our office manager's youngest son. And the preacher walked up and said, I'm not going to keep you long this morning. I thought, uh-oh, that's not good. We're here for a while. No. So I won't keep it long in the morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 says this, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's God's will that everybody be saved. But they're not going to, are they? But it's his will. That's what he wants. Jesus died on the cross for every single person that's ever been born or ever will be born. His blood was sufficient, right? Some say, well, okay, if it's God's will, then why is it happening? I've heard people make the statement, you know, God's will is always done. No, it's not. Not on earth. Else, why did Jesus tell us in the model prayer, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is in heaven. But the prayer is, we're asking for his will to be done down here. It's not. Because we have a choice, right? We as humans. Sometimes I wish I didn't have a choice. Maybe I wouldn't mess up so much. But from Adam and Eve on down, we've had the choice to serve him or not serve him. And we're especially with family. We have lost members in our family. I'm sure you do. And you try to witness to them. And, of course, they just kind of brush you off because, after all, you're Uncle Joe or Cousin Joe or whatever. And that really hurts. And one reason that they're not all coming to Christ is because of a guy named, Jesus called a deceiver. You know who I'm talking about? The devil. We've all been deceived by him to some degree. We call him, well, in Romans 3:23, you know, it says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So nobody's perfect. But then in, turn back a little ways to page 190, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it tells us of another name for this deceiver. Of course, we're talking about Satan. Used to be called, originally he was named Lucifer. But after the fall, God changed his name. He is no longer called Lucifer anywhere in the Bible. He's called Satan then. But here's a description of him. For 2 Corinthians 4, it's really verse 4, but let's read the first four verses to get it in context. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. By the way, in witnessing to people, you can't lose heart. In praying for people, you can't lose heart. Because all we can do is pray. They got to make the decision, right? But we don't lose heart. He says here, the Apostle Paul said, we do not lose heart, but we've renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Boy, that's going on today, isn't it? Wow. I tell you what, I was pretty rotten before I got saved. A lot of things I'm not proud of, but I didn't mess around with God stuff. I guess I had this holy fear of some kind. I wasn't getting...
Holy fear of mama.
That's right. My mama whooped me, and I'm 65, if she's still around, if I sassed her, as she said, she'd whoop me today, but she's in heaven with my daddy. But anyway, we don't use the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now watch this. But if our gospel, or may I change that and say, but if the gospel, it's not really our gospel. I know what Paul was saying. He was saying what we're preaching to you. That's what he meant. But it's actually the gospel, not a gospel. Jesus didn't say, I am a way, or a truth, or a life. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, but if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now look at verse 4 there in 2 Corinthians 4, whose minds the god of this age, who is that?
Satan.
Satan, exactly. The god of this age has done what?
Blinded.
He's blinded. So we call him the mind blinder. The mind blinder. And he is so good at what he does. I mean, I don't want to give him too much credit tonight, but we need to be aware of our enemy. One thing, I'm a big football fan, and one thing they do is watch films of the team they're about to play, right? They find their weakness. I remember when my son was in junior high school and we were playing the championship and we won. Hallelujah. But I didn't have any voice the next day, but we won. Anyway, I would go over there with him and we would watch the other team play tapes and find their weak spot, right? Well, the enemy does that with us. He's watching us. But let's turn that around on him. He's got weak spots too. So what we need to do when we're praying for a lost loved one is understand the enemy. See, we need to know him. We need to know his strength and know his weaknesses when we're doing anything for God, including praying for lost people. He says in verse 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan's trying to do everything he can to keep us away from the truth. We mentioned out there earlier, we were talking a little bit about this and that, and people who are close to the truth, right? On the surface, it looks really great. We could name organizations that's nothing more than a cult. And I didn't say occult now, I said just cult. Anybody that does not teach the infallible, inerrant word of God is a cult, period. It's false. But you know what? They can make it sound so good. Many are deceived, right? Many, many, many are deceived. In fact, we were talking earlier about the end times, and one of the things it says there that he'll cut the time short to save the very that keep the very elect, one version says, from being deceived. I mean, it's going to get worse than it is now. It's going to get worse, and we need to get ready. Our prayer life needs to be strong, stronger than it's ever been, praying for lost loved ones and lost people around us. In trucking, we're around it all the time, right? We're around a lot of born-again Christians, yes. But there's also people out there, as in any situation, that are lost. And we need to be praying for them. What happens to all of us is that Satan, again, is the god of this age, and he leads us to believe that his way is good. Again, it sounds good on the surface. The world sometimes sounds like they're going from one party to another. You listen on the CB radio, right? And it's a party road, they call it sometimes. But if I'll guarantee you, anybody, including yourself or me, that before we were saved, we thought, and it don't matter if you was or wasn't drinking, or was or wasn't taking drugs, but away from God, we thought in front of everybody, it sounded great. But when you're alone, all alone, I found that in my life, when I was all alone in the sleeper of the cab of that truck, just me and God, so to speak, then the reality hit. You are miserable. I had to admit that I was one miserable human. But hard-headed, too, in the fact I ain't giving up. I know I'm right. Wrong. Because I've been raised in church like some of you, all right? So when we're praying for a lost loved one or a friend, don't get disheartened. Jan and I, my wife and I, have learned to pray the scriptures over people. And there's far too many to get into tonight, but one of them we found that we pray now over our children and grandchildren is Isaiah 54:13, and of course you don't have that in the little Bible, but it simply says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Now, believe me, when my son was running from God, and we won that championship I mentioned, and he, you know, he was a football superstar, so to speak, in junior high school, and drugs came on the scene, and he fell into that, and for the next 20 years, we prayed for that boy. And Mama prayed for me longer than that, probably, but, you know, I would pray, you know, Lord, I would read this scripture to him. It says in the Bible, all your children shall be taught by the Lord. And I'd get through with this prayer and thank God, it sure don't look like it to me. There ain't nothing changed, right? But we just keep going, right? Now, drop down to 17 of Isaiah 54, and it says this, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God's promise. So when we're praying for somebody, be it a lost loved one or a friend or even somebody we met on the road, remember something, that they'll come against you with the verbal stuff. But the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And it says, in every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Talking about Christian. Our righteousness, right, is from God. I've said a lot of time, but we got to get beyond believing. Most everybody would tell you that I believe the Bible's true. Most everybody in America would say, yep, I believe in God. I believe the Bible's true. And I said, no, you don't. If, you know, in the right setting, I would do that. I wouldn't do it in front of a bunch of people to embarrass them. But I would say, are you born again? No. Well, then you don't believe the Bible's true, because if you believe the Bible's true, you'd know a place called hell, and you'd be doing everything in your power to keep from going there. So, no, you don't believe the Bible's true. It's become a fantasy anymore, but it's still true. Amen? There's nothing changed. So, as we pray for people, and again, I'm thinking mostly lost loved ones, but again, That could be your neighbor on the road. Who is our neighbor? Person sitting on the other side of that white line. We need to be praying for them. I walked by a truck a while ago, and the guy went, I was handing out the flyers, putting them on door handles, and he'd get all kind of commotion saying no. and that's fine. I said, you know, have a great day. I walked away praying for the driver of truck number so-and-so. See, he ain't stopped me from doing that. Then, lo and behold, he got out of the truck and signaled me, and I thought, uh-oh. Went back over there, and he said, oh, I saw your shirt. I thought you were somebody else. And I said, well, I'm Chaplain Joe, you know. And so anyway, he took the flyer, but because of his initial reaction, I just started praying for it. Lord, you know what's going on in his life. I don't know. I don't even know who he is, he or she. So we began to pray for him. Turn to page 202 in the Little Bible, Ephesians chapter 2. And let's look at where we used to be versus where we are. You see, when a person rejects God, they live in spiritual darkness. The Bible talks about darkness and light, right? And getting out of the, what is that song? He brought me out of darkness into his glorious light, you know? And I've always been amazed that all the places I used to hang out was dark. I mean, the bar was dark. Everything was dark. And then as I studied the Bible, I know why, because you don't want to be seen in there. Even with the rest of them, you don't want to be seen. You know, that God that's in the lack, or the God-shaped spot in us, is crying out for God so much, even in that. I remember situations that I'd be in, and it was like I was just totally uncomfortable, even though I was with the guys, you know, in the group. But something inside me was saying, no, get out of here. You know, you don't even want to be seen here, let alone participate. It was all about that dark world we lived in. But then when get born again, and a lot of times that's through somebody's intercessory prayer. In fact, I would dare say that almost every time people are saved through somebody else's praying. And again, you might even know who it is. It might be somebody you bump shoulders with at a truck stop or something. And that might be us, see, doing the praying. We're all benefactors of somebody's prayer. My mama prayed for me, man. I'm telling you, I'm so thankful. I had a praying mama. I stopped by there at little old Hicktown where we was raised in South Georgia. And, the old saying goes, both city limit signs was on one post. You know, it's so little. I would go by there in my big old fancy truck, you know, and that was the talk of the town. You know, a big truck come into town and stop. And I went go by to see my mama, and I'd be about half blown away on drugs. And, you know, and mama, to her, drugs was at the pharmacy. You know, she didn't have a clue about drugs, but she knew something was wrong with me, and she would stand often close to me and try to smell my breath. And, of course, there was none. And I'd say, Mama, I'm just tired. She'd say, what's the matter with you? Well, I'm tired. And I was. But she'd say, I'm praying for you, and she'd put that bony finger close to my face as she could get it and say, one of these days you're going to be serving the Lord. And I'd get out there in my big truck, take off down the road and say, what's that old woman know? I'm living. You know, I'm arrived. No, I wasn't. I was miserable. I was miserable. And everybody's not serving God. Ephesians chapter 2. Are you there? Verse 1. And you he made alive who were what? Dead in what?
Transgressions and sins.
We were spiritually dead, right? But now, what I like about it, it put it in the past tense. You were dead. He's talking about Christians, of course. He said, you were dead in transgressions and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world. We all did. Amen. Everybody was born lost. And we walked according to the course of this world. Even if you were born again at an early age, you still was born lost, right? But he says, you, according to this world, according to who? The prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the others. But you know what? I love the first two words in verse 4. But God. You know what that those two words tell me? That ain't the end of that story. But God, who is rich in mercy. Boy, if it wasn't for mercy, we wouldn't be here, would we? We'd be dead and in hell. We don't get what we deserve. And I'm thankful. So, and I'm saying this, when we run across other people who have not yet been born again, then we need to remember where we were and pray accordingly. That God, Mama used to say, get the scales off their eyes so they can see. The mind blinder. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And by grace, you've been saved. I like that. By grace. The only way you can get saved is by the grace of God, right? You can't earn it. You can't buy it. I'm so glad it's not for sale because I probably couldn't afford it. Something this good would have to have a high price tag on it, right? And it's verse 8 goes on to say, "But for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of your works. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship." And now, like I say, remember when we're talking or we're around others that are not yet born again, let's remember what God has brought us from, okay? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 for a moment. Page 219 in the little book. How do, then, if we're praying, how do people come to Christ? How do they get out of that darkness? And it's just by what we're talking about is interceding on their behalf, praying on their behalf. Paul taught Timothy to intercede for all men. In fact, verse 3, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, well, let's see, verse 1, start there just for a minute. Therefore, I exhort first of all that all supplications, prayers, and what? Intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? All men. Everybody. 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 I've heard Christians, I hate to say it, but I've heard some of them say, well, it don't do any good to pray for them. There was a pastor of a church in another state, and I won't tell you where, so don't even ask, because it shocked me. He told me personally, so this is not hearsay. We were talking about homosexuality, and he said, quote, it doesn't do any good to pray for them. God won't save them, end quote. And I said, Pastor, everyone you meet, give them my phone number. Because I beg to differ with you. That's no bigger sin than nothing else in God's sight. Sin is sin. Amen? You're either saved or lost. You're not lost her or saved her. I don't know if that's even a word. But, but you know, it's sad that we pick who we want to witness to, right? And the really bad, rough, gruff, whatever, we might just say, oh, well, I'm not even gonna say nothing. Well, that's wrong. That's wrong. I believe what Jerry Clower said, jump in there amongst them, somebody get some relief. Yeah. In fact, I believe Big Uncle passed away several years ago. He was an owner-operator for many years, and Big Uncle and his wife ran to California from here for 19 consecutive years. And Big Uncle would say, CB means Christian Broadcasting. And he was a big old guy, so you didn't dare argue with him. I've got his CB, as a matter of fact, my pride and joy. But he told Timothy to make intercession for all men, for kings and all in authority. Do we ever do that? We're too quick to say, well, you know, the president's wrong, the senator's wrong, the governor's wrong, or whoever it might be, the mayor in my town is wrong. Have we ever prayed for them? Maybe we ought to be praying, right? I know when one big ministry went down several years ago, everybody was, including myself, I couldn't wait to get the morning paper to see the latest scoop of all the dumb things. Really. My whole intention of buying the paper just to see what was the latest mud or latest bad stuff. And God spoke to my heart one morning and said, when's the last time you prayed for him? I thought, me? Little old me down here in Georgia when there's an entourage or, you know, we're talking a major group. Yeah, son, when did you pray for him? You're quick to criticize. You're quick to get on the bandwagon to run him in the ground. When's the last time you prayed for him? Have you ever happened to think that's your brother in Christ? Right or wrong? Oh, I never thought of that. Changed my attitude completely. Changed my attitude. I began to pray for people like never before. Verse 3, though, says, this is good. Well, let me finish verse 2. For kings and all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and reverence. Godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Did you ever happen to think that the person that you have contact with, you may be the last person to ever get to witness to them? Or I may be the last person. We don't know. They could be, you know, they could die. They might not see another Christian till they die, even if it's later. So I want to be, and no, we can't witness to everybody because you just don't have the time, the opportunity don't arise. But you think back, I know I can, at how many times that I was in too big a hurry. I had other things to do. And I know the Lord was dealing with my heart about, just say something. But you know, you can say, I've been praying for a son or daughter, I've been praying for somebody or so and so for years and years and years and years, and I just don't see no change. You know, even Habakkuk, I read over there in the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 1, even he got frustrated. So I feel better about mine now. I'm not the only one. That don't make it right. He said in Habakkuk 1, verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Wait a minute. Do you think God didn't hear him? Do you think God don't hear you? He hears me. He hears you. He hears everybody. But what did we read a while ago? A day's like 1,000 years. 1,000 years like a day. You know, my son, when this first started in senior high school, actually, when the drug started, walked away from everything, just turned his back on everything that he ever thought was right. Well, I thought, well, you know, we'll pray for him and this will blow over. Well, it didn't blow over. You know, it went on for 20 years. But because I loved him so much, right, I was willing to keep praying. Well, yes, he was my son, but I should be that way about anybody I meet. Just keep praying. We know at the same time that they've got to make a decision. We can't make them do that. Some never will. Some that we pray for will die and go to hell. But that don't give us the reason to stop praying. As long as there's breath in their body, there's reason to pray. There's hope. Amen? We got a saying at Truck Stop Ministries, as long as they're breathing, they're savable. All we need is a warm body. God can work from there. And if I had real faith, I could resurrect them and pray for them. So I don't know. Probably scare me to death. But also, there's another one that we're familiar with. In Isaiah 55:8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know? In other words, God's got a plan. He's got a plan. He's working in everybody's life. And we're I think I'm just a pawn in his chess game. As long as I submit myself to him, in other words, results are not my responsibility.
You're in sales, he's in management.
Exactly. I'm just in sales, he's in management. That's a good way to say it. And as long as I do my part, if I just say, God bless you, if that's all I have time to do, or if that's the only opportunity I have, plant a seed. We're the sower, not the grower. He never told us to grow anything. I think of that parable of the sower where he just kept sowing. You know, some fell on stony ground, some fell here, some fell there, producing absolutely nothing. And I envisioned that one day of this guy walking along, just we used to what we call broadcast, you know, just sowing. Yeah, buddy, walking with that thing. But you know what? He didn't look back. Apparently, he never looked back. My old uncle on the farm taught me, don't look back. He'd tell me it then. I never could figure out how I could make a road down the middle of the field and it straight. He said, you see that tree right down there? Don't take your eyes off of it till you get to it. Don't look back. The planters will be all right. You just look forward. And, you know, I brought that over into my Christendom, right? God says, you keep your eyes on me. Don't take your eyes off of me. Do what I tell you to do. And I'm responsible for everything going on. I witness. I pray. And it seems like things get worse. But that's not my responsibility. Amen? So we just keep praying. By the way, God's response to Habakkuk is found in verse 5 of that chapter. He said, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. I'm going to use you, he says. God said, right? You don't worry about it. I got everything under control. I'll do it. He addresses my lack of faith there, you know, but God has a plan. You know, he said that in Isaiah also that his word would not return void, right? He said it'll accomplish what he sent it to accomplish. Well, let me ask you something. Who is the word? Jesus. Jesus is the word. If you look in John chapter 1, verse 1, you'll find out. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? He was with God in the beginning. He is the Word. Well, that's got to be Jesus, right? Well, he said, my Word won't return void, but it'll accomplish what I sent it to do. What did he send Jesus to do? To save the world from the sin, right? So, if he did that, and it's not going to He's not going to miss. He's not going to fail. All of that, like you said a while ago, that's his responsibility. But he sends us salesmen out, right? He sends us planters out. The Bible said, Paul said, you know, some plant, some water, God gives the increase, right? But I want to do the increase. I'm greedy. I want to see everybody get saved. But that's not necessarily going to happen in my time. We've got many, many letters at Truck Stop Ministries that the driver was witness to at one place and gets saved somewhere else. Yeah. Even some fussed about the flyer being put on his truck wound up reading that flyer and coming to Christ, calling the prayer line. There's all kind of testimonies of that. You hand somebody a tract, he might call you everything but a truck driver, but it also might be what triggers him or her to think about their relationship with God. So we just keep believing. Keep praying. You know, Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but yours be done. We need to say that. We need to say that. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I had my own truck and trailer, and at one time I was running independent. And well, like y'all are, I know you're set up, and you just go and pick a load. Right, pretty much. Well, the only problem with that is I would say, Lord, where do you want me to go? And guess what? Sometimes it wasn't where I wanted to go, but I just knew I was supposed to go there. And I'd take the load and go there, sometimes fussing half the way up there or over there, wherever it was. But you know, I would say, Lord, you sending me for a reason, so help me to be a witness for you along the way and when I get there. So we just pray scripture over the people that I run into contact with, even if I don't get the witness to them. You know, that face is in your mind. You ever try to talk to somebody and they just reject you entirely, but later on their face come to your mind? And you think, I wonder if what I said did any good at all. Well, when your face comes to my mind, by the way, I start praying for you right then, Christian or not Christian. I don't know where they're at, Lord, but whatever's going on in their life, maybe pulling a wide load, might be in a situation that's dangerous. Lord, I just pray for my brother, you know. Or if it's somebody that rejected me, I say, Lord, I just pray that somebody today, I don't remember the person's name, Lord, but you know who it is. I pray something like that, Lord. Put somebody in their life today to witness to them, to share some of the gospel with them. And see, that might be you as a driver somewhere else. They might have rejected old dumb chaplain down here in Jackson, Georgia, they think, right? And they're loading next to you somewhere, or unloading, or who knows what, but you're together. Might be your turn to witness to them. Might be your turn to pray for them. And with your loved ones, by the way, where you're not there to witness to them, there again, I pray, Lord, put people in their path that they will listen to. Not somebody necessarily to go preach to them, but somebody they'll listen to. Somebody can identify. We talked about identifying with the driving, right? That we are drivers. We can identify with one another. Well, whoever this is of my relatives, shall we say, is not driving, not trucking. Lord, I just pray for somebody there. Sometimes it's a wife back home. We'll say, Lord, wherever she goes shopping, somebody, a cashier, who knows? Not trying to tell God how to do it. Well, I guess I do, but he doesn't listen real good. But the Lord, just somebody, witness to them. And like in my children's case, in my grandchildren's case, you know, I pray that God spare their life while they're out in sin. Lord, spare their life till they can get saved, till they can know you. And you remember the story of Job, and he made a deal with God. Satan made a deal with God, right? And God allowed him to attack Job, but what did he say you can't do? Does anybody remember? That's right. You can't have his life. You can do all this. Job said, if you take this away from him, he'll curse you. He'll turn his back on you. Well, he did all that, and he did, right? Job didn't change. He said, but if you take his health, he said, okay, you can do that, but you can't have his life. And, of course, you know the rest of the story. And all of that, the Bible says Job didn't sin. It's one thing for us to lose a truck or lose a house or whatever. The least little thing, we turn our back on God and quit. Well, he must not have been there. We just quit. And I think of people like Job, exceedingly wealthy, right? If you study that, I mean, he had big money. In just a short period of time, in hours, he didn't have nothing left. All of his children in one day. You was talking about losing your dad and a son, right, the same year. I can't imagine that. But think about that. Every one of them in one day dead. All of his wealth gone. In fact, his wife said, why don't you just cuss God and die? Just get out of it. You're covered in sores. You're in misery. We was talking about our pain in the body and all that a while ago. Can you imagine? The Bible says he was covered in sores. And yet, he didn't fail God. Sometimes I tell God, my name is J-O-E, not J-O-B, J-O-E, Job. No, I've never faced nothing like that. No. But in my own little world, I guess you'd say, the catastrophes and whatever. But I read stories about Job. I read stories about Moses. I read stories about this, that, and the other, and say, I ain't got anything to complain about. I don't. Some of you know my wife and I, our little journey with breast cancer 2 years ago. We're still fighting the medication from it and the leftovers from it. Thank God the cancer is gone, though. And right about the time I think we got it real bad, God just lets me see people confined to a wheelchair. Can't stand up. Another one can't talk. Another one can't move their arm. Maybe can't do any of that, right? I have a nephew in San Diego, California, has never spoken, never walked, never done anything on his own. He's in his 20s now. He can't move without his daddy taking care of him, without somebody. And I think, I ain't got anything to complain about. But God, I pray and I pray and I pray and I don't see nothing happening. So, trust me. Just trust, right? Just keep praying. When we intercede on another's behalf, it pleases God, I think, because He desires for everybody to be saved. And it could very well be, like I say, it could be my prayer that was the icing on the cake, so to speak. It could be your prayer as the icing on the cake. Who knows? Again, remember, the results are not our responsibility. That's God. So tonight, who knows? You may be here because somebody prayed. Coincidental? No, I don't buy that. I don't buy any coincidences in a Christian's life. God has a plan, and even though we try to mess it up, He can still make it work. Right? He said in Romans 8:28, all things, He causes all things to work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. We're having to relocate some of the chapels at truck stops. And we said, well, I don't like it. Don't look good to me. But, right, God, You promised to work all this out for good. So even though I don't understand it, because I ain't got no choice, they own the truck stop. It ain't like they ask you. But just pray that this new location is even better than the other one.
They'll move this one.
I'm sorry?
Are they moving this one?
No. This is a private owned truck stop here. This is a lease operator. And I say no. I don't want to be presumptuous, but in fact, he bought it and paid for it to be here. But different management in different places come up with better ideas, right? And that's I'm not saying that critical. I'm just saying that's the way God has to humble me. Like we think we got it together. We got this program down pat. I mean, we're going A, B, C, D, E, F. Everything's cool. He just comes along, changes the whole deal. But if we're willing to witness, if we're willing to pray, God will place people in our lives to talk to. And sometimes, I've said many times, but sometimes it's just as simple as opening the door for somebody and saying, have a good day. I like to stand there at the door and say, welcome to Walmart. That almost always brings a smile. I let them get about halfway in the door and I say, welcome to Walmart. And they think, it's like, I'm not at Walmart. And then I tell them, I'm practicing for my new job. I'm going to be a greeter when I grow up, you know. But I love to see that because, see, for just a second or two, they forget their problem. Just for a little bit, right? They forget because you caught them completely off guard. And see, then there's a chance to say something for Jesus. Well, have a blessed day in the Lord, or something. Ask the Lord. He'll give you something to say if you really want it. If you really want it. Tonight, I don't know where everybody's at. I hope everybody's born again. I hope you're all saved and know you are and everything's cool. But just in case, I like to close with a simple little prayer. And we're going to offer communion here in a minute anyway, so we need to really search our hearts on that. That's, to me, is the most sacred act you can do as a Christian, is participate in communion. We call it in the South, we call it the Lord's Supper. But if there's sin in your life, now's the time to let God have that. Confess that. He said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that. I'm so thankful that's there. Because when I mess up, not if, but when I mess up, He always convicts me. Not condemn me, but He always convicts me, right? Because my mama used to whip me and say, this hurt me more than it is you, you know? I thought, well, she'll die any second now. But but she said, I do it because I love you. And that's true. We discipline our children because we love. God disciplines us because He loves us. And even if we're born again, there's areas we need to improve on. And tonight, as we pray this prayer together, and I ask you to pray it with me out loud with your heads up and eyes open. Nobody's going to know who means it and who don't. You say, everything's cool with me, I don't need it. Great. Somebody around might, and therefore, we won't be pointing nobody out. I don't believe in embarrassment. I really don't. So, if you would, pray this with me as we close. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sin. Come into my heart and help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. I read your word. I receive your word. And I believe your word. Thank you, Lord, for using me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Those that you on the CD listening to this, call the number that's on the CD. Somebody wants to pray with you right now to help you further along.
Thank you so much for listening, Mr. and Ms. Trucker. We want you to know that God loves you and wants to have a personal, loving relationship with you. Please keep us in your prayers, and if you'd like to contact us, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/truckstopministries. Also, our website is www.truckstopministries.org. You can also make a donation at either place if you feel so led. We appreciate your prayers, comments, and support, and it is our prayer that God richly bless you.